Sunday night, Or L'Ches Menachemov. Learning Chavis Halvavos, we're learning the Hakdama. And we're actually up, I want to say something before we go further in the Sefer. He was talking about, you know, why doesn't such a Sefer exist already? Maybe this, maybe that. So in the middle of talking, we learned it 2 weeks ago, he compared Chovas Haivorim to work in the field, which has specific times and specific hours and specific tasks to do. And Chovas Halvavos is like a servant in the house, where you're basically 24/7, and you can't really excuse yourself. You know, it would take a lot to be potur from Chovas, from the work in the house. You know, when you have to go to the field, so something came up, you couldn't go. But in the house, you're always there, you're living there. You're a ben bayis there, you're part of the household. So there, the servant has much less of the excusable absences. There are kemat no excuses. Why aren't you serving Hashem? Believe. You don't have to do anything specific at a certain point in time. It's an attitude. So why? So that's constant. So before we go further, this mashal of comparing someone of Chovas Halvavos to being in the house with the master. So I saw quoted a very, I know women generally don't like to learn Moreh Nevuchim. That was a joke. Men also don't learn Moreh Nevuchim in general. But in the very last, I think it's the last parak of Moreh Nevuchim, that's the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Moreh Nevuchim, which we don't generally learn. It's very, I mean, I don't know, if you want to learn it. Nice. But it's not in the regular yeshiva curriculum, let's say. Either it's Chayvus Halavos, come to think of it. Anyway, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim gives the following mashal. He gives a mashal about serving Hashem, about life. And it's fitting so much with the Chayvus Halavos and the theme of the Chayvus Halavos, and especially apt is the comparison to being in the house, that I thought I would tell it over to you. He says the king is in his palace, and they're all different, his servants, his subjects are scattered all over. Some of them live in the Medina, let's say in the capital city, we'll call it, and some of them live outside the capital city. And then even if those that live in the capital city, some of them, their houses face away from the palace, and they don't even know about the palace. They're faced a different way. Then you have those who face the palace and they want to go to the palace, but they don't know how to get in. They can't get through the gates. They can't get into the walls. Then you have those who get into the walls, but they want to go, and they try to get in, but they can't find the gate in order to get in. Then those that get in and they just wander around the walls. Then there are those that wander around the halls, and then they get into the room where the king is. And then they can't yet talk to the king. Then they get into the room and they talk to the king, or they see the king. Okay. V'hinani mefarish l'chazeh ha-moshal. I'm reading from the Moreh Nevuchim. Asher chidashti l'cha. I'm going to tell you the nimshal now of this moshal. He says, the people who are outside the Medina, the people who are outside the capital city, they are people who are atheists. They don't believe in us. They're no shaykhs. Right? They're oblivious of Hashem. Heim chutz l'Medina. Heim kol ish mebnei adam shein lo emunas das. He has no belief system at all. Lo miderech iyon. He hasn't come up with that conclusion himself or herself. Balomi derech Kabbalah, they don't have a Masorah. Then he goes on, he says, the Kushiyim, maybe the Africans in Africa, and maybe that he gives some examples in his world when the Rambam lived, maybe people who were not even old Avodah Zarah. Now he's talking about no belief system whatsoever, and these people they're really not people, they're like animals basically, they're just living like animals with their physical needs being met, and they don't really have much humanity to them. Okay. The one Basharheim Bamadina, the ones that are in the capital city, but they're oblivious to the king. The backyard is facing the palace, and they only look out the front. Heim Bale Amuna V'Iyun, these are people who have a belief system, but they have the wrong religion. But they don't know Hashem. Heim Sholu B'Yodam Deos Bilti Amitios. Maybe they've made a mistake as they try to figure things out for themselves, or maybe they have Kabbalah a mistake. They were Kabbalah mistake. And these are worse, actually, than the first, he says, in a worse position. Ve'ilu yosiroim and harishonim harbe, because they have a belief system, but it's wrong. And that's much harder to deal with than someone that had ground zero. And this we might be once in a while commanded to destroy them. I guess he's talking about the Zionumos or Amalek. Okay. Next, Madrega, number 3. V'harotzim lavo al beis hamelech u'lihikones etzlo. They're facing the right way, and they would like to get into the palace, but they can't get through the gates. Elish l'ro beis hamelech klal. So that's Amei Ha'oretz Ha'oskim B'mitzvos. So they can't get into the house. See, that's what they do mitzvos, but they do it as ritual, and they do it as mitzvos Anoshim Lumada, and so they want to see the king. They have a desire to get to the king, but they're very far away, and they haven't gotten into the Beis Hamelech. They haven't gotten into the courtyard, apparently. Okay, then we have a fourth madrega. Hamagiyam al habayis haholchem sviva. They get into the gates, but they don't know the way into the palace. Maybe they're in the courtyard, but they're looking for the door in. So these are already people who understand a little, the Rambam says. But they have it b'kabbalah. You see, this is like the Chaim Salvador. He says they have the right ideas, and they don't just do things by rote, and they have good ideas, but they haven't figured it out for themselves. They just, you know, they just accept what they've been taught, and they didn't develop it. It's not pnimi. It's not something that they've become convinced of. It's just something that they've been taught, and they themselves haven't. He says, most people, this is most people. You know, this is where most people are stuck. Most people are stuck. They can't. They're outside. They made it into the courtyard, and they're not just doing things by rote, but they haven't thought about things themselves. V'asher hechnisu atzmom la'ayin be'ikre hadas, and those that themselves have thought about things on their own, they've thought about things, they already have gotten into the palace and they're in the hallway, and now how much you accomplish, whether how much you're able to accomplish, that will determine if you're in the hallway or you get into the room. Obviously the highest madrega, probably of a Navi or someone with Ruach HaKodesh or Nevuah, is like you're talking to the king. Hashem being the king, and you're talking to him. So, and that, then you're in the bias with the melech. So, very interesting. That's interesting, because it's really this type talk where he doesn't. We're stuck at like number 3 or 4. Number 3 or 4. Number 3 is people who do the right things, but they've. Right, they do things by rote. That's number 3. They don't think about anything. Number 4 is that they don't do things by rote, but they haven't thought about it themselves. It's hard to imagine nowadays, really, where okay, this is a little too heavy for maybe for ladies, but as a man, I can tell you that the teaching nowadays is also right. Is not a Chovos HaLavos type teaching. At most it's number three or number four, right? But the Chovos HaLavos says there's three pathways of knowledge to Hashem. The primary one is to think about things and come to realizations oneself. Then, he says, we have what we're taught. Well, of course, we have Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. But that was always really more the Litvisha, if I may say so, historically, the Litvisha approach was more of towards independent thinking and to figure things out. With a Rebbe, no one's talking about, you know, flying off into who knows what. We're talking about with the Rebbe's trained how to think, how to learn, how to understand things. But nowadays, I don't like that.
What's the distinction between 3 and 4?
Three is when the people that do things by rote.
So how is 4 any more advantageous than 3? They're not all either.
4 is 4 understands things, but are not personally, they haven't figured it out for themselves. It's not coming from the wellspring of their own creativity, of their own seichel. They didn't figure things out.
But don't we all accept what the Gedolim before us have figured out already? How many people come up with creative kedushim?
That's why he says that most people are at number 4. He says, the Rambam says, most people are at number 4. Halavai, 3 or 4, he says. Most people are at 3. Well, no, wait, stop. I want to correct you. Forgive me. We're not demanding chidushim. We're learning here, Chavis HaLavos. You walk out of here, let's say. And let's say we'll be learning Shar HaBachina. So if you walk out of here and you say, I've been taught, and I accept, and I believe with perfect faith, that Hashem created that tree. And boy, that's such an amazing tree. And you go even study about trees and leaves. Right? You can spend your whole life studying trees. You can spend your whole life studying anything in this world. There's so much depth and complexity, especially nowadays, where they know so much about everything. And you have a Wikipedia. You could read up about anything in the world. So you could walk out of here, as we learn Shara Bechina, and you can look at a tree, and you could study about a tree, and look up a Wikipedia, and you say, I now am convinced that there's no way that tree came into being other than a creator created it with planning and design and purpose. And I now see Hashem when I look at that tree. You see, that's not a chiddush, but now you're at number 5. Now you've figured something out for yourself. You've thought about it. You are now personally convinced. This is the difference between saying the first mitzvah of Emunah b'Hashem is to believe in Hashem, right? That's how it's phrased by some, and some phrase it to know that there's a Hashem. Right? The Rambam says it different ways. Laha'amin pashtus, to believe, means you could believe something that you've been taught, but you're not personally convinced that it's so. That's not necessarily what the word believe means, but let's assume it. Let's assume that the difference between to believe and to know is when you know something, it means you're personally convinced that it's true. You're personally convinced. You figured it out for yourself. You studied about a tree, or you studied about the seed of an apple, and you now know that there's so much DNA, there's so many, that the seed of an apple has now all the plans to create what's going to happen when it, all the plannings, like a computer, all the plannings and all the plans of how it's going to grow into another tree and create more apples. And you study this and you find out that it's true, and how it got planted, and the seeds and the flowers and bees, and how pollen gets and DNA and all the information, and you study that, and you become convinced that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say there's no way that this, or you study different things in the Bria about this is what we're going to learn about in Shaar HaBechina. The Chavis HaLov starts with Shaar HaBechina by saying that studying these things teach you, convince you, ma'ames etzlacha, make you be convinced that there's a Hashem in the world, and that's what it's all about. So, but if you're happy, and most people are, and one can't say that they're wrong, they're not going to Gehenna for it, chas v'shalom. It's good, but you know, if you listen to the Rambam's marshal, and we're here to perhaps develop more. The Chavis HaLov certainly wants us to develop more. What they're finding out more and more is, right, as they have the project, the Chazon, and all these, they're seeing that if you just teach someone by rote, even in the book Off the Derech by that lady, you know, that's, she says, if you don't teach Levavo, she doesn't put it that way with Chavis HaLov, but she says if you just teach the dry rules, then you don't really have much. This is not only the Chavis HaLov, this is the Hakdama. The Hakdama to the Chavis HaLov could have been written 1,100 years later. Could have been written today. That's what we're in the middle of, the Hakdama. That it very little of, okay, relatively, the point of Yiddishkeit is not, and this is goes, I'm sorry, you know, it goes against the grain of what I was taught, what we were always taught, that the essence of Yiddishkeit does not lie in the rituals. It doesn't, I'm sorry, you know, if you can't handle that, you can't learn Chavis HaLov. I'm sorry. Chavis HaLov is like the whole idea is that the ritual contains the lathe, and it's essential, and I explained, it's essential, you shouldn't kid yourself that you can do without it, and it never has worked in the history of mankind, or at least since Matan Torah, it never has worked that you can attain those things without the ritual, but still, so the idea is that you're convinced, and that's the lathe. So when it comes to Emuna, you're convinced. That's through Shaar HaBechina. Shaar HaBechina accomplishes two things. I'm really talking about Shaar HaBechina now. A, it convinces you about Shaar HaYichud. Shaar HaYichud is more philosophical, that there's a Hashem in the world. I don't know if the proofs in Shaar HaYichud would hold water today. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll learn Shaar HaYichud and we'll see whether to the modern person, with modern Western philosophy, Western thinking, whether they would be swayed by the proofs of the Chavis HaLov and Shaar HaYichud. You know, so these philosophical proofs, if Hashem is two, then how could he be two? Then he, you know, these kind of philosophical points. But then Shaar HaBechina comes along and he says, number one, this is how you are going to experience and know about Hashem. There's no better way than to study nature. It's interesting, he doesn't say to study Torah. It's very interesting. He says studying, he gives a list of seven disciplines that will teach you about, and you will be convinced that Hashem exists when you study these seven disciplines. You know, biology, science, history, he goes through the list. That's Shaar HaBechina, will be learning it, Mitzvah Hashem. I made him say, number seven is Torah. Number seven is to study Torah, and you see brilliance, you see like spirituality, you see very, yeah. But then, and Shaar HaBechina is the foundation to Shaar HaVodas Elokim, because you're supposed to feel a tremendous sense of gratitude. That look at all these things Hashem made in the world, and Hashem did this, and Hashem made this, and all this complexity, and all this fine tuning. And he goes in Shaar HaBechina through all the fine tunings in the world that I always laugh. Because this is like 1,000 years ago, and he didn't know anything compared to what we know nowadays. Like, his knowledge of science and biology and all the things he talks about in Shaar HaBechina, on a, you know, for what his day was a sophisticated level, to us it's like not even the surface of what's going on. That's why I want to expand a little when we do Shaar HaBechina. I want to take the topics he talks about. Mostly he talks about memory, so he didn't know anything about the brain, different parts of the brain. He just said memory is a wonderful gift from Hashem, and forgetfulness is a wonderful gift from Hashem. And he explains when forgetfulness is wonderful and when memory is wonderful. You know, if not for memory, you wouldn't walk out of here. I wouldn't know how to get down the steps. I would have to ask someone where the steps were. I would have to figure it out. I wouldn't remember where it is. And without forgetfulness, you would remember every embarrassing moment you ever had. And who wants that? Right? This is a wonderful matana from Hashem. But the Shaar HaBechina is there to accomplish two things. It's to buttress and support Shaar HaYichud, which is belief in Hashem. Shaar HaBechina is to see Hashem, to feel Hashem, to be personally convinced that there has to be a creator and a director of the world, and someone who's running things purposefully and for a plan and purpose and goal. And it's the groundwork for Avodas Elokim, because it creates a wellspring of gratitude. And now you wanna express your gratitude to Hashem. So Shaar HaBechina is like the support, the other pillar of support for Shaar HaYichud. Shaar HaYichud is like mathematical philosophy. If A, then B. Theorems proving like mathematical principles, which you can't do. Chavis HaLolos himself says in Shaar HaYichud, you can't do it, because there's nothing as mathematical as math. He could never prove Hashem's existence with all of his philosophies, he says, like you can say 1 + 1 = 2. So it's just not like that. But he says, that's okay, as long as you're convinced that it's true. I don't have to prove it to you to the degree that I can prove to you that 1 + 1 = 2. I just have to prove it to you to the degree that you're convinced that it's true. Nothing to be ashamed of. He doesn't use that lashon. Nothing wrong with that. So you're convinced it's true. But the trick is to study until you're convinced. He's convinced that he can convince you that it's true. Then you learn Shaar HaBechina, and you get convinced on your own. I'm saying Shaar HaYichud is more mathematical, philosophical. It's ideas that are a little foreign to us. A lot of people don't even learn Shaar HaYichud. They don't go there. Because the proofs, they don't even know what Chavis HaLolos says, that I realize I can't prove it to you, because I can't show you Hashem and say, look, really by Har Sinai, they were zochet to that matrega, where Hashem, it says, tore open the heavens, and he said, look, like there is nothing else. That's just a marshal, obviously.
Rabbi Akiva Tetz has got a very good description of this. He says there's no positive proof that Hashem exists. They're only what he calls negative proofs. There can't be any other explanation for how the world is.
Okay. Anyway, the Chavis HaLolos says that he just has to be convinced. That's all. Convinced is enough. And then in Shaar HaBechina, you become convinced even more, because you see it, you experience it. Okay, let's go further. Too much philosophy in one night. Everybody's too hot for philosophy. So we're going through his search. Vi'amarti No, the Amarti Shemo Hamin Hazem.
No,
I think. Amarti Hamin
Hazem at the top of
the Amarti Shemo Hamin Hazem and Hamitzvos Einu Misyaleid Lamitzvos Harbe. Yeah, is that okay? The Amarti, and then I said, maybe Shema Amin Hazem and Hamitzvos, these types of mitzvahs. They can't be subdivided, so they're too specific. The Alkeni Nichu also on the Lechibru Behem Sefer Miyuchad. Maybe that's why they just let it go. But when I started investigating, Mitzosim, I saw Adar Rabba, this has many more ramifications than the ritualistic mitzvahs. When I thought about it, on all of their subdivisions, limitless. I realized, Kimasha Mardovet Olav Hashalom L'chol Tichla Reisi Kates. I have seen an end to every goal. L'chol Tichla, to every goal, Reisi Kates, I've seen an end. But Rechava Mitzvascha Miyod, but your commandments are Rechava. They have no limit. Of course they have a limit. Why not? Why don't they have a limit? 613 is a quite pretty good limit. Pesach night, that's a limit. Til Chatzos, that's a limit. Kriya Shema in the morning. Challah, only if you bake a certain amount, that's a limit. Mezuzah, only if you have a house, that's a limit. Very limited mitzvahs. Omra mitzvahs halavavos. Ki mitzvahs ha'ivorim yesh lehem mispah yodua. They have a finite number, tayyak mitzvahs. And it's only Shabbos, and it's only when you're eating you make a bracha. Very, very finite. Ach mitzvos halavavos, rabos ma'od, they're limitless. Ad ki ein l'toldehem mispar. You have no, there's no end. Because whether it's gratitude, or thinking about Hashem, or realizing Hashem, or being thankful for Yetzias Mitzrayim, or thankful for things in your own life, right, you're thankful you have a house and thankful you're living in Eretz Yisrael. It's not limited to time, and it's just you could thank Hashem that your body works, and if parts of it don't work so well, so you have to thank Hashem for the other parts, the limitless parts that work well. I was talking to Dr. Blass today, you know, so the child has issues. But he laughs now, right? Because the liver's working. So, he's talking about this problem and that problem. It's all small things, right? But if these problems would have existed without the big tzara, but now.
Dr. Blass to be able to be happy, also a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what he's going to say in Shara Bechina, that one of the problems is that as soon as you get used to something, you lose your gratitude for it. And it doesn't, you know, as soon as you have something and you have it for like, he doesn't say how long, I'd say a week. You have it for a week. You say, oh wow, this is unbelievable. Then you have it for a week and then it's already, you know, what have you done for me lately? We what happens is the Chavis Lovos will say, we develop a sense of entitlement. Once we have it already, then we feel entitled to it. And we lose the wonderment and amazement that we got it. We feel entitled to it, so we don't feel gratitude. And then Adaramba, we just focus on what we don't have yet, and we have tainus. Why don't we have A, B, C, D? This is why he wrote the Sefer, to make us realize, Shara Bechina, this is what he writes in Shara Bechina, to make us realize all the things we have, and we shouldn't just take it for granted. Okay, if you're Marty Ode, so I'm searching, why doesn't such a Sefer exist? He's finally going to reach a conclusion that it's waiting for him to write it. Marty Ode, Shemahim, Kol Kach Mavuoros, maybe, you know what? Maybe they're already clear and well known, V'yaduos Lakol. And everybody's doing it, V'chol B'nei Adam D'veikin B'hem. That's why nobody had to write a Sefer, because everybody's doing it. You don't have to write a Sefer if everybody knows what to do and is doing it. Strike that. He says, V'iyanti min hagei b'nei yodom b'rov hadoros aneskorim b'sforim. I studied how people acted in many generations. Umetzosim rechokim min haminazem min hamitzus. I found them very, very far from these kinds of mitzvahs. Only a few people. Ela hasrizim bechiri hasgula bohem kvi hanizkar aleihem. Only a few energetic people, special people, would be doing these levavos things. Achashor kamo yitzrichim lahor ulahoros olsom. Boy, they needed to be taught about these things, and that's earlier generations. I'm sorry to say, he's talking about over a thousand years ago, right? He's in the early 11th century. They're not even so careful about doing mitzvos eivorim. If someone, even if an individual wants to delve into the wisdom of the Torah, he speaks very harshly here, the Chayv Salvavos. He says many times their intention is only for kavod. They want to be called the Talmud Chacham. They want to be looked up to by the other people. I don't know why he was being so harsh. He said, even when people delve into the wisdom of the Torah to try to understand and to study, it's usually for kavod, and maybe for power, and to get a position. She asked a little shame, Eitzel HaGadolim, V'yeit Miderech HaTorah. But he's going away, he's straying from the Derech HaTorah, El Masha Lo Yikneu Maila Yaseira. He's not interested in things that don't give him any sense of personal achievement, of personal success. And therefore such study is not a good thing. He's using the Torah as a stepping stone for kavod, for his own kavod. Bishaim Lahoya Yodo. If he wouldn't study the Torah in such a way, Lohoya Nana Shalov, he says, he wouldn't be punished for not knowing the Torah, because his learning is poison. Okay. Veheniach, because, and sometimes people study Torah, he says, Veheniach Layim Bishar Shaydosav Yisoda Tarasa. You see, here he, again, you know, nowadays they, one day I'm making a yeshiva. He says, and they study Torah many times, and they don't delve into the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. B'shoreshei doso, v'yosodi toroso. They don't study these things that we are talking about. Asher lahoyel ol hisalei mehem ulahanichem. Now this is the Chayvus Halvavos talking. You know, again, you could. It's a dangerous, maybe. This is his shita. This is why he wrote the sefer, called Chayvus Halvavos. That if you, even if you study Torah, but you don't go into these things, it's not a good thing. You shouldn't ignore them. You can't do a mitzvah properly, fully, with all of its slave, with all of its avos Hashem, and all of the good that a mitzvah should be able to shower upon you. All of the ruchnius, all of the connection to Hashem, im lo yedoim v'yaseim. If you don't know them, you don't connect it. Kemo emunos hayichud. You can do, let's say, pidgin aben, and you never think about that, what it means, because it's b'chor, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and right, well, again, we say these things over and over and over and over. The Chayvus Halvavos says it over and over and over and over, because as much as he says it over and over and over and over, you know, he only wishes he's getting through. Kmo emunos hayichud, menachnu chayovim layim bo mitzat sechleinu. If you have to study about Hashem with your own seichel, o miyaspik lanu and neideu mitzat kabbalah. No one's ever thought about that. Is Mrs. Zabrowski right that it's enough if we have this belief because we have it with Kabbalah? Or do you have to figure it out yourself? And when you say Hashem Echad, It means you are personally convinced that Hashem Echad. So, but he says no one's even talking about that. Kashayomer hapasoim mibli osu mofes. Right? You know, you say it without, you don't know why Hashem Echad. How do you know Hashem Echad? You're just saying it. Oh, imanachru chayovim lachkar alinyan ha'echad be'emes. Maybe you have to delve into it and think about it. Again, nowadays, the trend is to say no. Taka, don't go into it. It's too dangerous. It's not a good idea. But again, we're learning that Gnome of the Chavis Halavus, where he says it the way he sees it. Or maybe a superficial understanding of echad. Okay, this is really what he develops in Shar HaYichud, that there's different types of one. Because you say, I have one pen in my pocket. And you just mean you don't have two. That's like a superficial type of one. Then, but if something can only be one, that's a heavier type of one. Okay? We're not going into it. He says, but maybe you should think about that a little. He believes that a believing Jew has to think about these things. Shatora Hasira Olav. He quotes a pasuk, "V'yodata hayom." You should know, "V'ashivos elavavecha," and you should take it to your heart, to your mind. Ki Hashem hu Elokim. V'chein shor mitzvos alavavah shezacharnu, v'shanu asidim lizkor, asher lo. And this is like such a powerful statement. Asher lo tigomer emunas hamamin. The belief of the believer is not complete. Imlo yedoim. The Yaasim, if he's not aware of the various chovos halavavos. The Achochma Hatzfuna, he calls it, this is what he calls it a lot of times throughout the Sefer. The concealed Chochma, because it's in your heart of hearts. No one knows about it, no one sees it, no one can tell, you don't have to answer to anybody, no one's taking attendance, no one's making a checklist. On all the mitzvahs and the rituals, you can make a checklist. Here there's no checklist, it's in your heart. Asher he or halavovus v'noga hanafashos v'aleh marakosuv hein emes chafatsu v'atuchos v'sochum chachmosol d'yeni. Okay, we'll stop here. Will is there any reason? We'll learn next week.
You're not taking a break yourself.
Yeah, my break is, if I want a break, I turn off my phone. And I don't look at my email. If I want a break. But I have a very strong Yetzirah. I'm addicted. I have to go to a 12-point program for email.